The Joe Rogan Experience.
The thing that I keep going back to is, like, at the end of the day, my head on my pillow, do I feel good about the choices I'm making? And do I stand strong in my beliefs? Yes. Then I'm not going to let what someone in Idaho has to say about what I'm doing today.
Well, people want absolutes, right? Whether it comes to recovery from drugs and alcohol or whether it comes from anything. They don't want you to deviate from the path, and they want you to always be helpless in the face of your addictions.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is the thought process between a lot of the 12-step programs, that you're helpless in the face of your addictions. I don't know if that's true. I have never had a drug or an alcohol addiction. I've never had that kind of a compulsion, so I don't know. But what I read about you is that you think of yourself now as California sober.
Mm-hmm.
Like, please tell me what the fuck California sober is.
I saw the smile on your face like start to form, and it just made me so happy. All right. Well, so part of my process now is like not defining the parameters publicly, because I don't feel like it's anybody's business but me and my treatment team. But it's a term that a lot of people use to identify this path of moderation with the help of some green plants.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
And so green is the key word.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that.
Yeah, but It's such a loaded subject that even bringing it up, you have to kind of guard yourself from the way other people are going to perceive what you're doing, right?
I'm a celebrity and I guard everything I say. Even if I'm speaking my truth, I still have to guard it to some degree, because I'm working so hard not to offend anyone, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, yes, yeah. But every aspect of my life is that way now.
Now, do you find that this green stuff makes you more relaxed in dealing with the anxieties of life, or like
Well, just, the green stuff is weed. We'll just like, yeah, we'll just like call it what it is. Yeah, it's something that, you know, it helps. And it also like is something that you can use for different things. It helped me learn how to meditate at first. You know, it was a lot easier to smoke a little bit and then meditate than it was to just go in with just like the most clear mind. It helped me build a relationship with meditation to where I don't need it to meditate anymore. You know, there's benefits to it. And I think there's also just a sense of security in knowing that, that even if I'm having a bad night and I turn to that, that's not going to kill me.
Right.
You know.
I guess you'd get there without weed.
You can. You totally can.
Yeah.
I just found that like...
weed gets you there quicker.
Yeah. Just a little bit. And I just... yeah,
It doesn't hurt you. That's the thing. No. It's like it doesn't hurt your body. But I do know people that have gotten addicted to weed, you know?
And I think something to be mindful of for sure. But
it's not a physical addiction, though. It's not an addiction like alcohol or benzos or coke or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
It's an impulse. It's a psychological addiction. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe for some people it's a physical addiction, like really, really rare. But for most people, there's nothing happens when you get off it. There's no withdrawals.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that it's something to be like mindful of, just like anything new in my life. I have a treatment team that I run things by. So
you run weed by them?
Yeah.
And what'd they say?
Whatever. You know, I came out of, I went to treatment for like a relapse. I relapsed in 2019.
And it was heavy.
And it was a heavy one. Yeah.
Well, explain to everybody what you went through, because it's like it sounds normal, but you almost died.
So I overdosed on heroin and crack. The heroin was laced with fentanyl. And I OD'd in 2018. And that experience was a near-death experience for me. The doctors told me I had 5 to 10 minutes before it was too late. When they found me, I was blue. There was blood. I had 3 strokes, a heart attack, and multiple organ failure. And I still have brain damage from it.
What kind of brain damage?
So I have blind spots in my vision, and I also had hearing loss from everything. The blind spots are like I don't drive. I can't, unless I was on like an open dirt road and I could just like, I just don't want to put other people at risk on the roads.
So you, like, normally you see everything? Like, you see everything in front of you right now?
No. So even, like, your face, I see your eyeballs. When I'm looking at your eyes, I see your eyes, but I don't see your nose, your mouth, or even your microphone.
What do you see, this part?
It looks like I looked at the sun. Whoa. You know when you're a kid and you look at the sun because someone told you not to, because I'm that kid? Yeah, it's like that. When you look at the sun and, like, or even, like, a camera flash, and it kind of goes, like, greenish, bluish. It's not black, but it's, you can't see. And it's just like a blind spot that takes over kind of like everybody's bottom half of their face.
Whoa.
And so my
focal. But could you focus on someone's bottom half of their face? If they were smiling, could you look down at their teeth?
I have to look down at people's mouths when they talk.
So you only see like a stripe, like a strip of their face.
Yeah, literally just exactly where you put it. I could see the top of your fingers, but not your hand. And so, for the first few months, like, I couldn't read out of a book. I was so hard to, like, tweezing my eyebrows, couldn't do that at first.
How do you live?
How do you live? Exactly. My brows are extremely important to me, so that was a huge thing.
Fabulous.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're doing a great job, whatever you can see.
Thank you. Whatever you can see. Oh my God. But yeah, so there was things that, and I had to ask like opinions on my outfit. Like I couldn't see what shoes went with my outfit.
Is this getting any better?
No. So it plateaued after 6 months, like whatever it would be at, after 6 months after the overdose would be what it'll be for the rest of my life. And so.
And this is from the stroke.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So this experience that you had. You had a heart attack, you had strokes, you have this vision issue that's going to exist for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure everyone around you then was like, hey, you got to stay the fuck away from all drugs forever. Like, this is it. Like, we almost lost you.
Yeah.
This could be it for your life.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you ease into weed from there?
So it took a lot of time.
What was the impetus? Like, what led you to do it?
What led me to do it, actually, was I got into recovery from my bulimia. And I thought, all right, this is an addiction I've had since I was 12. How is it that everything started at 12 for me? I was like, how is it that I finally found recovery from this, but yet I'm still struggling with substances? I thought, well, what am I doing with food that's different? And I wasn't looking at it from a dogmatic approach, this all or nothing mentality. You know, I was eating Taco Bell and letting myself keep it down and not throwing it up anymore. And that to me was a new, the normal person like doesn't know that, of course, that's what you do with Taco Bell. You let it sit. This was a new fucking idea for me. Mind was blown.
You would go on a bender, eat Taco Bell, and then just like, okay, out of the pool, boys. Blah.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Every time you ate something terrible like that, you knew that you were going to throw it up.
Yeah. Yeah. And so when I went, after I had relapsed in 2019 on the hard stuff, I went back to the treatment center I'd gone to right after treatment. And I just said to them, I was like, I think I need to allow myself the ability to really try this middle path. And not like before when I said I was on a middle path, but really was like going was like really trying to party. Like, I mean, like, if I want to smoke, then I'll let myself smoke. And I kind of came up with that and talked it through with my treatment team back home and let everyone know, like, hey, this is, I have to own my truth. And my treatment team said, okay, like, we'll support you and stand by you. What do you need from us that will help? And it was at that point that, like, I started getting this thing called the Vivitrol shot, which is a shot that blocks all the opiate receptors in your brain. So if, you know, I mean, honestly, even if I were to get, like, in a bad injury and go to the hospital, I couldn't even get opiates in a hospital because, like, my body will reject them so much. It goes into withdrawals immediately.
Really?
Yeah. And
but why do you need that?
It also helps with bulimia, because what people don't realize about bulimia is that it helps bulimia. When you throw up, your opiate receptors go off in your brain. So sometimes people actually get addicted to the high you get after throwing up rather than, like, people think that it's like there's actually a physical component in your brain that people get addicted to. And that's why people become addicted to the feeling, that euphoria after you.
That's crazy. Yeah. I had no idea. I thought it just, mm-hmm. you always felt, every time I've ever thrown up, I'd felt terrible. I never would have imagined that there's a.
I guess because you're sick.
Yeah.
I think, like, if you're not sick, maybe you don't feel terrible. I don't know. But
now I'm thinking of trying it.
No. My God, no.
I'm kidding. Listen, okay. I'll never be bulimic. I eat like a pig.
And that's okay.
It's okay to eat like a pig? Thank you.
Yeah, if that's what makes you happy, then, like, own your truth and live it, you know?
So I'm still curious as to, like, what about weed made you want to even introduce it into your life after working so hard to be sober and having this horrible experience with overdosing?
Right. So I often say, and this is really hard for people to hear sometimes, but I think that drugs saved my life at times, because had I not had something to medicate with, I wouldn't be here. I would have taken my life by now. I've dealt with suicidal ideation since I was 7 years old. And that's just something that's always been a part of my journey. I don't know why, but depression is, I've had a journey with that. There was a period of time where I thought to myself, I'm so miserable. I'm still sober. Now I'm sober again. This is after the overdose. I'm so sober and still so unhappy. What am I doing? And I got to this place where I kept thinking, if I pick up, you know, that term, I had been told so many times by people in recovery or treatment team, whatever, not this treatment team, but a different one, that if I picked up that I would die. And I thought to myself, what kind of life am I living if I'm miserable 24/7 and if I feel like the bottom is going to drop out, I'm going to die? Like, that's not really a life to live. And so I thought, what if there's some sort of relief in between that's not going to kill me, that's not super dangerous? You know, what is it? And I thought, well, I live in California. you know, why not a little weed? And so I tried it, and it wasn't so bad. And I began to appreciate what it could do for me. It stopped me from going to the other things. A lot of people say that weed is a gateway drug, but what people don't know is that it can also be a drug that can provide a little bit of relief for people who feel like when they get that low, they're either gonna pick up something really dark, really heavy, or something more ominous, you know?
Yeah, I don't buy that gateway shit.
I don't either. I really don't.
And I don't buy it with anything.
Also, I hate even calling weed a drug because it's a sacred plant. Like, it's sacred medicine. And so...
Talking like a healer.
Yeah, I am. But it is. It's like it's under the category of sacred plant medicine. So
there's definitely some magical properties to it. Catch new episodes of the Joe Rogan Experience for free only on Spotify. Watch back catalog JRE videos on Spotify, including clips. Easily, seamlessly switch between video and audio experience. On Spotify, you can listen to the JRE in the background while using other apps and can download episodes to save on data cost, all for free. Spotify is absolutely free. You don't have to have a premium account to watch new JRE episodes. You just need to search for the JRE on your Spotify app. Go to Spotify now to get this full episode of the Joe Rogan Experience.